a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you'll meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living is exactly what makes them extra to me, and I'm very excited for you to meet them. Now, today's guest conjures up the word legacy, not because he's a little bit older than most of the guests we've had on the show so far, and certainly not because he's at the end of any road. He's got plenty of road ahead of him, but it's the legacy of today's guest that I am most honored by and most happy to share with you today. Some of you might be familiar with the old Isaac Newton quote that humbly states, "If I've seen further, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants." Well, today's guest is one of those giants. He's a giant of family and of faith, of which I can personally attest through the friendship of his son, who I don't see nearly enough of these days, but whose character is literally second to none, and through the experience that Betsy and I had at the church and school that we raised our girls in, of which this guest, and he's going to be way too humble probably to talk too much about it, so I'll get it out of him, this guest was instrumental in building faith formation, social justice, and community outreach programs that defined the church culture of our family and literally thousands of others who have been beneficiaries of it. So unwittingly to him, it's been his vision, dedication, and just plain life of service in that church community that helped raise our kids and forged our own faith, which I can't imagine there being a better legacy than that, getting other people into heaven. So welcome today's man of man, Mr. Ed Sweeney. Hello, Mr. Sweeney.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. Thanks for that that intro. I can't wait to hear what I have to say.
Well, it really is just such an honor to have you on the show. And for those that are listening, as you hear at the close of every show, you know, we encourage folks to be, you know, letting us know who might be great people to feature on Manna. And I will say that we came to, I've known Mr. Sweeney for years now. Our families know each other. As I mentioned, his son and wife and our family are friends. But it was actually a nomination. It sounded like it's some election here, but it was actually a suggestion of your daughter that said, "Hey, you should interview my dad." And I was just so honored. First of all, honored that anybody other than a family member was listening to me. That was great. but it's just so great. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, great to be here.
So we're not gonna take all day here, but we'll get into the kind of the early life stuff and where, you know, kind of you know how you sort of came into your faith and your walk and sort of, you know, what built up the eventual kind of legacy leaving. But I kind of want to start where the intro left off, you know, because everybody listening here and you know, we all know, you know, guys like you and kind of these inspirational sort of, you know, elder statesmen, founding father-ish kind of people, you know, who are instrumental in building things. You know, you build things and then for future generations that the future generations not only benefit from them, but they often lay claim to, you know, like, you know, families, I guess, get there and think that we're the ones, we started this thing. It's like, no, you didn't. This thing started like 30 years ago, dude. And so I kind of want to start there. Like, if you think back to when you were developing these programs and presumably with other people, you know, other families, and like, did you, you know, what was driving that? And was it a concerted, you know, because the legacy is one that, as I mentioned, it's about culture and it's about really forming the faith lives of others. But in the moment, did you know you were doing that? Or was it just, this is just what we're doing. You know, we're going to get together on Tuesday and, you know, I'm on this committee and we're going to like start something.
That's a good question. I would say no. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of just showing up, just being there. And something happens. A lot of examples. One, A real turning point in my life was when we made a Curcio weekend. It was, for me and my wife Juan, a very life-changing, life-altering, and became part of a group that would meet weekly to discuss and analyze and review our spiritual life. And these are all terrific men. One of them was a deacon, Joe Worsham, and he was getting involved with Sister Jean's cookie cart. And as a group, I think we said, hey, let's have a little fundraiser for her. And at the same time, our pastor, Father Arnold Weber, said, you know, guys, we really need some kind of a social community event in the coldness of winter. And so I said, perfect. The big event in the middle of winter, of course, is St. Patrick's Day. And so our group said, let's do a St. Patrick's Day party. And I think that first year we raised $3,000 for Sister Jean's, her cookie cart, which was at that time very big.
Right.
But then other people took it over in subsequent years. I think for 25 plus years, that St. Patrick's Day party went on and raised a lot of money for Ascension School and in our own school at Holy Name. That was not a plan. That just, it was a happening. It was kind of like God said, okay, well, here's the idea. You guys go do it. Okay, that sounds like fun. and then you just, it's kind of like your podcast and the ripple effect. It'll just, with time, just spreads out.
Yeah.
And that was a good example. There were other things, too, that just, you just show up and things are there.
Yeah.
And you just do it, so.
And did it become, I can imagine, just with so many of those things that you were involved in at the inception, did it just sort of, like, become a part of how you and your family just that kind of defined your church kind of community and experience?
Yeah, I think so. We had other instances. Well, I'll tell you, as a result of going to that Curcio weekend, my wife and I really got involved with scripture study. And we still are. And up to that point, even though I had Catholic education, was never really exposed much to scripture study. Picked it up and started to learn a lot about a lot. It was eye-opening for me. And it kept coming back to love your fellow man. Love was a big thing. And then someone pointed out this Matthew 25, the Last Judgment. And that's kind of my favorite scripture reading right now. And that pretty much summarized by his finale of that gospel where he says, whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. And I said, whoa, okay. I mean, there it is. There's the roadmap right there. And so it was very easy then to use that as a guide to just kind of fall into things when they confronted you. We had a good friend, Michael Allen, Holy Namer, and he was very involved with Sharing Caring Hands. He would do the Holy Name lunch once a month. And Michael passed away down in Florida one year. We had signed on to help him, but then he passed away, and his wife said, would you do it? And I said, sure, we'll do it. And we went to Father Steve and said, you know, if you want to continue, we'd be happy to do it. And he said, yeah, absolutely. And so we did that for 8 or 10 years, and we would bring together families from the community and kids and everything. We'd go down there, and one Sunday every month, the third Sunday, and we'd prepare an award-winning chili dog platter and feed 200 of the homeless people. And there was satisfaction in that because that's Matthew 25. What I didn't think is how that might impact the other people that served.
Yeah.
And it really did. In fact, we would get a lot of young people coming down, teenagers, high school kids from all the different high schools around here, and younger from the grade schools as well. And they would want to come back, so let's do it next month, let's do it next month. And in fact, with them, when our lunch was over down there, we'd clean up the kitchen, and by that time the lunchroom was empty. And in the back of that lunchroom on the wall was a painting, black and white. And I'd round up all the young people, said, come on with me for just 2 minutes. And we'd walk back to the back of the lunchroom and up to this picture. And it was a silhouette of a bread line. And you could see the people hunched over and in rags and all waiting for either lunch or soup or whatever it might be. And in the middle of it was a figure with a halo over his head. And I asked the kids, anybody recognize anybody in this bread line? And every time one of them said, I think that's Jesus. And I said, you know what? You hit it right on the button. That is Jesus. And you know what? He was here with us today in our bread line. Yeah. Did anybody see him? No, no one saw him. So I didn't see him either. But I know he was here because he told us, whatever you do to the least of your brothers and sisters, you do to me. And I got, even 2 years later, I got an email from a young guy when that was the scripture reading on a given Sunday. He came back and sent me an email, said, Mr. Sweeney, do you remember that picture? So you never know how you're going to impact people just by serving the poor.
That's so profound. Speaking of young people, so did you grow up like this? Like, was this how, service and kind of social, outreach, was that part of your upbringing with your own family?
I think my mom and dad were, yes, they were outgoing. They were very busy, though, raising a family and working. I was born and raised in Jersey City, in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty. And and my wife and I are both raised in North Jersey. Had traditional Catholic education and ended up at Seton Hall University. But I think we're so caught up in our own, this was pre-Vatican II, so you're really caught up in your own learning of spirituality and our faith, that I didn't think that much of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember once, believe it or not, I used to love to bowl. And back east, that's a big deal.
Sure.
And I think one of the tournaments they had around Thanksgiving was a turkey trot, and I won the turkey. I brought it home. My mom said, what are we going to do with this? Because we had a turkey ready. Well, it was an orphanage in town, and I remember taking that turkey over on my bike to the orphanage, and there was a nun answered the door, and it was almost a scene out of Oliver Twist. It was really kind of spooky. But I remember it well because I think that was the first time I ever gave something to somebody who really needed a lot more than I did. Other than that, I would say no. I think is when we got involved with Holy Name and Joe Worsham's outreach and reading scripture that it became more obvious, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you're in that track, you just don't, like Tom Silver says, you just don't say no.
Yeah, right. Well, and you mentioned Crisillo, and I do think, even though, a lot of this podcast is, the premise of it is to get, more men sort of, kind of thinking about and more kind of deliberate with living lives of faith. But so many of the men that I talk to, when you ask them about their own faith, the first thing they talk about is their wife. And how that marriage, that vocation of marriage is really, if it wasn't the defining or the sort of the provocation of their faith life, it definitely is something that is cited. And so did you feel that too? Like when you got married and then of course sort of having kids, did it just accelerate for you?
Oh yeah. Well, Wanda's been a huge influence. I mean, we'll be married in 3 weeks. We'll be married 59 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
We got married in the fourth grade. And she's been a huge influence, and she has a strong Marian devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And really had started the Marian prayer group at Holy Name, and they'd say a rosary every month. And so she has been very loyal and strong about that, and has brought me into that. And it's a very beautiful thing. It's just a wonderful life mate.
Yeah.
To really enjoy life, but also, understand that it's all a gift from God in the first place.
That's right.
So that has been one of the great blessings. She's been one of the great blessings in my life.
Yeah. What about as over the years now, both at Holy Name and now, your new parish community, have you... And you've raised kids, you've been active in the community, you've seen, the sort of, I don't want to say evolution, that seems a little too deep, but just, you've seen generations of guys change and play different roles now in the church specifically. As you look at, you know, when you were really coming of age in the church and all the contributions and the community that you had with other men and families, and then look at it today, do you feel, is it similar to, you know, years past, or has it changed? You know, are do you look at, you know, the guys and families, you know, in the church today, and is it a lot different than when you were, you know, active in forming those kinds of things that, you know, as I mentioned, we're the beneficiaries of all that work. You know, as you look at it, are we doing as much as your, you know, generation did? Or
I think in many ways they're doing much more. And I, you know, I see dads today really much more involved with their kids and their families, and in a different way too. You're just not the provider, bring home the bacon type of person, and occasionally discipline your kids. You know, today's dads are far beyond that, and that's a wonderful thing. Because that sets the example for the next generation. So, having said that, you know, when we raised our kids, I kind of fell back on how my mom and dad raised me. So I had. And I think they did a good job. They were conscientious about it. So you just say, okay, here we go. You know, we're going to raise a family, and you just embark on it. But I think the young men and young families of today really are they're sharing the marriage and the family more, I think, and sharing the duties of it. They're really involved with the kids. Not just as babies either. I mean, growing all the way up through college and beyond. So I think that's a great thing, very, mm-hmm. very good thing.
Yeah. I remember you mentioned Father Arnold, and I was, like so many, just so inspired by things that he would say. And I remember him saying, because we had joined Holy Name just at the very start of our family kind of life, with our first daughter and now four. But I remember Father Arnold saying that something to the effect of, you know, family is the first church. Like that's actually where, you know, your kids are going to get their first impression and the most sustaining kind of reinforcement of what faith means. And I always remember that and just think that is such a responsibility, you know, but such a gift.
It is. And that's a lot of wisdom there, because that's right. It's true. And if you're aware of that, you're going to respond accordingly, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a pretty wise guy. He had a lot of insights. A lot of people learned a lot from him.
Yeah. Quick Father Arnold story. You'll appreciate this. So I joined the Catholic faith through RCIA when Father Arnold was there. And so, you know, go through the weeks of you know, education and orientation, whatever. Anyway, the week that we did reconciliation. So this is the first reconciliation. So, you know, we're all nervous about going to confession. And we did it without the, you know, the barrier kind of thing, whatever. So we're just kind of just looking at Father Arnold and I'm talking about, you know, how, you know, feeling kind of selfish and with my time and wishing I could give more back to the church and blah, 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 blah. And he looked at me. And by this time, Betsy and I were two and a half kids in, I think, right now. So I'm like 30 years old. And he looked at me, didn't know me from Adam. And he looked at me and said, you know, he said, just catch yourself some slack, you know, get done with school first. And then, you know, and it's like, oh no, I'm out of school. He thought I was still in school. I'm like, no, I can't use that as an excuse, but thanks. what a great guy.
Yeah, he was.
All right. Well, hey, speaking of fun and laughter, we are now to the fun segment of the show. And so for those that have listened, you know, we ask every guest the same three questions. And so they've had a chance to kind of know what they are and prepare some answers if they choose, and if not, they can kind of take it on the fly. So we're gonna jump into the fun segment. So fun segment question number one is, if Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow and just wanted to hang out for the day, nothing big, just wanted to spend some time with you. What would you do with Jesus?
Yeah, great question. And really thought about this at length. I mean, you know, the reality of it. What happened if he really did show up at the front door and you answer it and you find out who it is? Certainly the first thing is just, come on in. and what are you doing here?
Yeah.
But what would I do with him? I think there's a lot of things you could do. I think I would take him on Lake Minnetonka boating because he seemed to like lakes and boating, and just to show him what this kind of a lake. I mean, Minnetonka is probably almost as big as the Sea of Galilee, so he'd be probably pretty comfortable with that. For sure, I would take him down to the city. I want him to see the homeless, all the tents in every park downtown right now is homeless tents. I want him to go into Sharing Caring Hands with me and serve lunch to 200 really people who are, that's their only meal of the day. Mm. I'd like him to go with me on a bed delivery for my very own bed to a homeless family's new home where kids sleep on the floor and now they have a bed, and just talk to those kids. I think, and then ask him, how can we do better? But then I think we'd come home and have a nice dinner and a good wine. Of course, his wine is the best wine. No competition there.
Right.
Because I just have a lot of curious questions to ask to him. The first one is, tell me what heaven's like. Yeah. I really want to know. I heard Bishop Shannon asked that once in a casual get-together. He said, I'm dying of curiosity to see what heaven is like. Well, why not ask Jesus? I mean, it's his home.
Sure.
Don't know what his response would be. I'd like to have some curious questions like, what was he like when he was a teenager? I mean, who were his teenage friends? Did he play sports at all?
Yeah.
Did he get in trouble? Who was his favorite teacher? What was his stepfather, Joseph, like?
Yeah.
We don't know much about Joseph, but this was the man who taught him the scriptures of the Old Testament. And who was his best friend? Was it Lazarus? Was it Mary Magdalene? Peter? Mm-hmm. Probably not. John, favorite apostle? Was it his mom? I don't know. Who was his best friend and why? And then how come he permits Holocausts and tsunamis and plagues and famine to happen? Why are we stuck with that? How could he just stand by and watch that happen? Just a lot of curious questions. Now, he may slap me across the face. It's none of my business.
Say, wait. Just wait a couple of years. You'll find out.
That's right. You probably will say that. Said, hang in there, kid. Hang in there. So, anyway, I think just to have those questions. And just, you know, the concept of sitting and talking with Jesus and listening is a great idea.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Well, and even just here, you know, you joke about it, but just opening the door. And what if that was it? Like, it'd be that you'd just be, I don't know, you'd just fall right down. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, so what a need. But yeah, such great questions, and hopefully you'd take really good notes, because I know that's everybody wants to know those, you know, especially the human ones too. I think sometimes we forget that what's such a neat, unique aspect of our faith tradition is that very human element of God. And so he did have a best friend, you know what I mean? He did get in trouble, and to be able to ask about that would just really, you know, reinforce that.
Yeah.
Beauty of, you know, whenever we have bad days, Jesus knows exactly what that feels like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he, to be the kind of personality he was that would attract thousands of people, he had to have a real outgoing spirit and a love of people. I think he was a very popular person.
Yeah, right.
And you know, there's one picture I've seen once of Jesus laughing. I mean, a big, hearty laugh. And I have that. I kept that picture because, you know, I think that's really him. I think that's his personality. I think he is an enjoyer of life and an enjoyer of people.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Fun segment. Question number two. If you could go to church with any other guy, living or dead, And you don't even need to have known him. It can be a famous person or just somebody. But any other man, living or dead, who would you go to church with?
Yeah, I didn't think about that question and why church. But then I digested it a little bit more. You know, I thought about people like Paul, Mary Magdalene, and totally ignore the question of the man. I'd love to sit with her. Or any other great saints like St. Augustine and St. Thomas. But I decided I would like to go to Mass with my father. He was a hard-working guy, eighth-grade education, and put all of his kids through school and had us all going to church every Sunday. But you know, even though I loved him and hugged him before he passed away, I've said many times, I'd love to have him back for one day.
Yeah.
I have questions for him that go beyond the questions I had for Jesus. I mean, I knew him, but I really didn't know him as much as I would like to know him today.
Yeah.
So I would go to Mass with him. I know he had a great devotion to St. Joseph. He had a little tiny wooden statue of St. Joseph on his clothes dresser. And he would say a prayer to St. Joseph every day. So I know he had that devotion to St. Joseph,
yeah.
The work, and I never asked him about it.
Yeah. How old were you when he passed?
Let me see. I was in my 30s.
Okay. Isn't that funny, though? Because I think no matter how old you are, when you lose a parent, there's still meat on the bone. You know what I mean? There's still stuff that you're like, oh, I didn't get to that, or I wish I would have done that. And
Yeah, it's true. It's and so to anybody out there, if your parents are still living, schedule one afternoon with them at the kitchen table with coffee or tea or something, and just question them about their youth, about their faith, about their growing up, their best friends. What do they believe in? I mean, it's there's so many things that we just run through life so quickly we forget to ask our own parents. Anyway, that's who I would
that's
go to
great.
Mass with.
That's
that would
great.
Be great.
It'd
be an honor to do that.
All right. Well, last question, and this is one. This is this the answer to this question could take more time than we've got tape in the machine because you've shared some examples already, but and this is kind of a ringer of a person to ask this of, but you know, if you could give, and so this will be the challenge is to whittle it down into one. If you could give one piece of advice to a young man, just about, you know, and younger, like young, you know, whatever, teenager of establishing and getting comfortable with their faith, and it just one little thing that could maybe set them off on a life that will eventually, you know, kind of flower as yours has. What would that piece of advice be?
Boy, that's tough to answer within 5 minutes. I think it's best if we all understand that we're put on this earth to serve. If you're going to succeed, serve. You can serve people at work, whether it's customers or fellow employees. You can serve people in the church community. You can serve people in your family. But we're here to serve, not to take. And the other thing is that we have to keep in mind that everything we've had, everything we've done, comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't control it. We think we do sometimes. But we really didn't. It's all a gift. And be thankful to God for all those gifts. Greek word for thanks is Eucharist. So I think if you just serve and be thankful, I think that's a good start in any religion.
It is. Matthew 25 right there.
Yep.
Folks, this is what legacy sounds like. Mr. Ed Sweeney, thank you so much for being here.
Good. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.